And I have selected Psalm 132 because I think it sums up everything that I would like to say in concluding the messages on the ark. Psalm 132 says, "Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord. And habitation," underline the word habitation, "for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard of it at Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the woods." Let me stop right there in verse 6. That's the title of this message concerning the ark. We have heard of it and we found it. We have heard of it and we found it. Verse 7. We will go into his tabernacles. Note that closely. It's not singular, it's plural. More than one. Into his tabernacles, we will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness. Let thy saints shout for joy. Glory to God. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. So now we have the anointing tied to the ark. Why? Because of verse 11. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of, notice this phrase, thy body will I set upon thy throne. If you remember when we started this entire series, I started with the fact that really the Ark of the Covenant, when the mercy seat was on it, that it really was a seat representative of a throne. And to the Jews, they believed that the Ark of the Covenant was God's throne on this earth. So the glory of God was on his throne. That's why we went to Ezekiel and talked so much about the glory of God, because he saw the glory of God when he saw God on his throne. And that's what we want as well. I want the Shekinah glory. I want to experience the Shekinah glory. Now, we've heard of it, but have we found it? It's a good question. You maybe have seen others in the glory, but do you know what the glory of God is? Have you experienced the glory of God? So let's break this down in just a few areas from this text. First of all, it confirms, as we've studied about the Ark of the Covenant, we first talked about it. He talked about tabernacles, more than one. We know that, first of all, the Ark of the Covenant now, right now, is in heaven. It's in heaven. It's what Revelation teaches us. It's what Ezekiel teaches us. The Ark of the Covenant right now is in heaven. Even though the earthly Ark of the Covenant is lost, the heavenly Ark of the Covenant is still there. There'll be a time when there'll be no need for a temple. That's in Revelation 21 and 22. But only after Satan is cast into the lake of fire and there's no more opportunity for temptation of people, because there's no more sin, no more curse, therefore there can't be any temptation. When we get to that place, the new Jerusalem, when we get to that new heaven, the new earth, there'll be no more devil, there'll be no more temptation, and therefore there is not a need for a temple of God any longer, because it'll be a place of peace and perfection forevermore. So it was in heaven. But then it's not only in heaven, but it's an habitation. What's the habitation? It's the tent of God. Where was the tabernacle? Where was the Ark of the Covenant when it was on this earth? In two tabernacles. You remember we dealt with both of those? The tabernacle of Moses, that was 1500 BC, that God gave Moses the pattern and he built the Ark of the Covenant. And then David, in 1000 BC, went down to Obed-Edom's house. They came and told David, everywhere that ark goes, people are blessed. Oh, Obed down there, he's not only blessed, everybody that walks in gets blessed. And everybody that leaves gets blessed. Do you know if the glory of God is in this place, we'll not only be blessed, but people that walk in will be blessed. And people that go out will be blessed. We'll be blessed coming in and blessed going out. And that's what God's concerned with. So he said, I'm going to go get that Ark of the Covenant. I'm going to bring it back. You know, he failed on the first attempt because they brought it back the wrong way. But I preached a message years ago on the six paces. They take six steps, stop, praise God, play the instruments, take six more steps, stop, praise God, play the instruments, all the way back to that tabernacle. And in David's tabernacle, the only thing that was there was the Ark of the Covenant. No other pieces of furniture. That was in 1000 BC. Not long after that, though, and it doesn't take long for people to forget what the glory of God is. I'm telling you, I've seen it happen in 30 days in a church. I've seen a church filled with the glory of God, and in 30 days, forget what God's done for them. The Bible talks about one generation forgetting. But we forget quickly what God has done. Just because God has been good to us doesn't mean that he has to continue being good to us. If we choose to do what the children of Israel did, what did they do? They looked around, they saw the idols of those that they were living among, the heathens, and they looked at those idols and they rejected the true and living God, and they chose the idols of false gods, and they made themselves false gods and false idols and turned away from the true and the living God. And do you know what happened? Ichabod. The glory departed. The glory departed. It can happen. That's not a prophecy for this church. That's a prophecy for any church. And that's a prophecy for any person. Just because God has used you doesn't mean he has to continue to use you. So the end result was they wound up. God said, you don't want me? You don't need me? Do it on your own. The Babylonians come in, conquered Jerusalem, and the earthly Ark of the Covenant has never been seen since. Google it, do whatever you want to. Trust me, they don't know where the Ark of the Covenant's at. They don't know. There's a lot of supposition, a lot of teaching. Some think Ethiopia, they don't know where it's at. I'm sorry, I've made some of you mad. You thought you had it all figured out. They don't know where it's at. They don't. And they're not going to find it, because when Jesus came, he replaced it. They don't need it anymore. Something better came. So in 400 BC, they go back under Zerubbabel. And they rebuild the temple. So now the ark has been in heaven. It's been in a habitation, the tabernacles of David and Moses. Now it's been in a house that Solomon built. But by the time they go back and rebuild it under Zerubbabel, check church history, check your Bible, there's no mention of the ark. There's a whole list of holies, but there's no mention of the ark. Under Herod, during the times of Jesus, Herod had gone into the second temple, the temple of Zerubbabel, and he had rebuilt it as well and restored it. But in 70 AD, when Titus came into Jerusalem, overthrew the city, and Pompey came in to the holiest of holies, Pompey said, in the holiest of holies, which the only thing in the holiest of holies behind the veil was the Ark of the Covenant. And when he came into the room, this is what history records. Pompey said that all he found was, and I quote, an empty room. An empty room. That's all that he found. Nothing more, just an empty room. By the way, any room without the glory of God, just an empty room. There's people that'll go to church today and they'll go through rituals and they'll go through religion, but it's just an empty room. No glory there, no spirit there, no anointing there. But for the people that fully understand, we don't need the Ark of the Covenant because he told us now he had a greater purpose. In verse 11, he said, in thy body will I set upon thy throne. What he's saying is God says there is a place that he still wants to set in this earth. And the Bible teaches us now through the New Testament, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God says, I am looking for a throne to still sit on in this earth. But the throne now is not inside of a temple or a tabernacle. The throne now is inside our heart. And the question I ask you today, is your heart just an empty room? Or is your heart filled with the glory of God? And you know that this body is the place that God sets on the throne of our heart. If the glory of God, the anointing is in your heart, there's three or four easy ways you can find out, and I'm done. Number one, see, if the glory is there, what the ark did for Israel, the anointing of God or the glory of God will do for us in our life. Well, what did it do? Number one, it divided waters. When they came to Jordan and they didn't know how to cross, I've been there to Jordan. Many of you have been to Jordan. You've seen it. It's not a very big stream at all, is it, Dave and Ron? Very narrow. It's kind of amazing to look at. For any of you that know what Raccoon Creek is, it's just a little wider than Raccoon Creek. In fact, it looks a lot like it just to look at it in a lot of places. And you're thinking, I don't see the big deal about Jordan. But see, it runs off from the hills around it, from the mountains around it. When the rainy season comes, it's very shallow on the banks. So the water just fills the bottom. If you can imagine driving down into West Portsmouth, when you come down and start out of Portsmouth, you ever look at those farm fields over on the right? Have you noticed how they just flood? Well, that's exactly what happens with the Jordan. Sometimes it's up to a mile and a half wide that the waters will flood there. And they'd come to that place at the time of year when the flooding was there, and they said, how are we going to get across these waters? And somebody got the idea, let the priest put the ark on their shoulders. And the Bible says when they stepped into the waters, that the waters parted from one side to the other, and they walked across on dry land into the promised land. Let me tell you, it's going to be the anointing that parts the waters at the end of day, when I come to the river at ending of day and the last winds of sorrow have blown. There'll be somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Well, glory to God. He'll roll back the waters and we'll cross to the land of promise because of what's in our heart. It downed walls. First thing they did when they got to that place that they found the enemies. Now, I heard this here a while back. See, people think that if God gives you something, you don't have to fight for it. He gave them a promised land, but the enemies tried to take the promised land from them. There were still enemies in the land that had to be driven out. And the first place they came to was Jericho. And most people know what happened at Jericho. They marched around the city 7 times. You know the account. I'm not going into all of it. But don't forget, the ark was with them. The ark went around it. In other words, they said, no need to march around this city. These walls aren't going to do anything if we don't have the glory of God. And they had to have the glory of God, because when they shouted, they were shouting because the ark was among them. Now, the walls hadn't fallen yet when they shouted. You read it. The walls hadn't come down yet when they shouted. They were shouting for what God was going to do. They were shouting because the glory of God was there. You know the same trouble that I had when I came into church this morning, I'll probably have when I go out of church this morning. But I'm here to tell you, before my troubles are ever solved, I can go ahead and shout it out, because regardless of what's going on around us, the glory of God is in our heart. And what we're saying is, when we face walls that we can't overcome, if the glory of God is in us, we can still shout about it. You've heard me give the example. I said in a service one time, listen to a businessman give his testimony in a seminar. Powerful. He talked about making trips constantly into a country that Christianity was forbidden. It was outlawed. And he was approached by some folks. He was going into the country for business regularly. And they said, listen, we know you're a good Christian man. We have a favor to ask of you. Said, you're allowed to take two suitcases when you go. Would you mind to fill up one of those suitcases with Bibles and smuggle those Bibles into that country? We can't get them in any other way unless we find people that'll smuggle them in. He immediately agreed. They said, wait before you agree. Pray on it for a week or two, because you can be in prison for life, or they could even take your life. Do you realize how blessed we are in this country? The Bible's outlawed in a lot of places of this world. He said, I never gave it any thought. I was just young and a businessman, and every challenge was a challenge to me. I felt like I could conquer it all. He said, I'll do it. He said, it never dawned on me until I got to customs. And when I started through customs in that country, he said, I saw more armed guards than I'd ever seen. And he said, I'm standing in line with my suitcases. And if any of you have ever traveled, you know what happens. There's times, you never know when, you never know where, but if they suspect things coming in, they start opening up suitcases. So he looked in the line, and everybody in that line was opening up their suitcases. And the guy, as he got closer, he said, I was trying my best not to act nervous, because I knew if I acted nervous that he would single me out. And I knew I was in serious trouble if he saw me sweating. And he said, I'm saying, oh God, help me, God help me. And he said, the whole time I'm saying, I'm never going to see my family again. I'm never going to see my wife again. Never going to see my kids again. I'm never going to be able to travel again. I'm going to die. I'm going to prison here the rest of my life. And he said, he got right up to the line, and the person in front of him had something illegal in their suitcase. And he said, it was awful. The person started fighting back and forth with them, said they were fighting back and forth. And he kept looking back to me and said, open, open, open. Tell him, go ahead and open up. And he said, I was reluctant on that second. He said, I was trembling on that second suitcase. I couldn't get it open. He said, and finally the guy looked at me and said, go on, just go on through. We've got to take care of them. He said, when I got on the other side, he said, I was stepping up and down saying, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. He said, and suddenly the Spirit checked me. And you know what he said? Why weren't you shouting on the other side? In other words, he was as much God on the other side of the battle as he was on the victory side of the battle. I feel sorry for some of you. You're waiting to get to heaven to shout. But he's as much God on this side of glory as he is on that side. Oh, bless his name. Down walls, divided waters. It destroyed enemies. You remember the Philistines took it? God sent unbearable diseases on them. This is funny. The same anointing that blesses one person kills another. What blesses one person, handled by the wrong person, will kill them. Some things that blesses certain people, if you try to act like you have it and you don't have it, I'm telling you, you'll die from it. You need to quit faking. You need to quit telling others you've got something that's not there, because the truth of the matter is, God knows if he's on the throne of our heart. I can't see your heart. I only know my heart. But if your heart is not fully surrendered to God, God knows that. God sees that. The same gospel that blesses us that are saved, the same gospel will kill you that are lost. The same gospel that'll take us to heaven will send you to hell. I am preaching right now. Someone said, well, how do you know if it's the gospel? Let me tell you, can I give you a quick little definition of the gospel? If you ever have to change your message, it's not the gospel. Because the gospel's to be preached to all men everywhere. In other words, the gospel can be preached anywhere, anytime, any place, because the gospel never changes. But if you find people that change their message and change their idea of salvation and change their thoughts as who God is, then they have not preached, nor do they believe the gospel. It destroyed the enemies. Thank God the anointing breaks the yoke. Thank God the anointing destroys the enemy. I have seen people try to destroy churches. I have seen people shouted down and praised out of churches. Best thing you can do if you've got an enemy in your life is bless them. Bless the Lord and bless them. Bless the Lord and bless them. When people come into this church and you say, why, preacher, I don't love the things of God and I don't like that shouting, then you're in trouble. We're going to shout you out. Because we're not going to stop. We're not doing it because we're better than you. It's just we've got to make sure this place is so filled with the glory of God. There's no room for Satan. There's no room for the spirits of this world, the rulers of darkness. This place needs to be filled with God. And the way this place gets filled with the glory of God is if our heart is filled with the glory of God. See, I've got the glory in me when I'm sick and when I'm well. Well, I've got the glory in me when I've got money and when I don't have money. I've got the glory in me when I've got trouble and I don't have trouble. The glory is in us. And I'll close with one more thing. The glory of that ark divided the waters. Destroyed the enemies, down the walls, but also it delivered his children. They knew when the ark came out, the battle was over. They'd seen that ark and the glory of God. Well, there were battles that were won. They didn't even have to fight. When the ark came and the glory come, they didn't even have to fight. God took care of it. They didn't have to raise their hand. They didn't have to raise their voice. They didn't have to grab their sword. They didn't have to hold their shield. Why? Do you know what would happen? This is what would happen. When the ark would come through the camp, remember, it's in the heart of the people. It's in the midst of the people. When they would pick that ark up and start to take it through the camp was enormous. Everyone couldn't see the ark. But what would happen when the ark would pass by? That those people would see it, and immediately their hands would go up and they'd lift their voice to the Lord God Almighty and say, the battle is the Lord's. The victory is ours. God is in the camp. And when the shouting started, it just kept going and just kept going and just kept going. See, what happens is we get a little shout over here, a little shout over there, a little shout back there. But what would happen if the glory of God would come through here this morning and pew after pew, all the way from the front to the balcony, from this side to that side, and everywhere in between, we started to look and say, God has done it before and God will do it again. The glory
is the Lord's, and the battle is the Lord's, and God is going to fight, and God is going to win.
And when the enemy heard the shout and saw the ark, a lot of times they ran the other way. A lot of times they destroyed themselves because they knew they were no match for the Lord.